Blog Talk Radio.
The mic, drop.
Absolutely nothing wrong with him, I can prove it.
Of course, there's something wrong with him. He's a Negro.
The mic drop.
Being duplicated.
You're looking at it as if it was human. It was not human.
Mike, drop. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of...
Somebody drop this fool for me.
The mic drop. Special Sunday episode. I decided, you know, whenever I come on Sundays, man, it's usually unexpected. Everybody expects me on Thursdays. But, you know, sometimes what happens between Thursday and Saturday evening will prompt me to, you know, maybe come on a Sunday afternoon and, you know, just talk about some things and kind of get the week started and, you know, see where we end up on Thursday. And, you know, that'll determine whether I come on next Sunday. First and foremost, happy Sunday. This is the beginning of the week, even though, you know, Western civilization and Western culture has taught us that this is the last day of the week. In all actuality, Sunday is the first day of the week. So, you know, I hope everybody's getting their week started off on a good foot today. So today we're talking about a phenotype. In phenotype, we trust. And for those of you who don't know, who didn't read the description, I guess I should, you know, add a little background to the title. Basically, all skin folk ain't kin folk. That's a simple country way to put it. All skin folk ain't kin folk. And I think with what's recently going on in politics and whatnot, with the confirmation of Ketanji Brown, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, we're starting to see remnants of the same old in phenotype we trust sentiments coming up. And it's concerning. It's concerning because we should be way past that by this stage in the game. This is game 101. Things aren't always what they seem, and everything that looks like it's a sheep could be a wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, these are basic laws, basic rules. If you have walking around sense, you understand this. But why is it that we allow the media and allow the dominant culture to promote the narrative to pull at our emotional heartstrings to garner our support for somebody who's obviously against us. The proof is in the pudding with this woman. She's not for, like, black folks. She's for the Democrats. She's for the Democratic Party, which is now becoming the progressive left. It's getting a little bit out of scope for my liking. And but everybody else keeps going down a slippery slope. So we're going to get to the bottom of it today. Well, let me not say that. That's not honest. We're not going to get to the bottom of shit just to keep it a buck. We're going to talk about it. We're going to delve into it in the safest manner possible, I'll say. So shout out if you're in the comments, man. Let me know who we got in the building, man. I see we got a couple of people in the building. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe to the video. This is the Big Mic Drop. I came on by myself today on purpose because, you know, sometimes you just got to prove what you're worth in the beginning. Sometimes you got to prove what you're worth. So I will be putting a link in the chat here a little bit later so I can get people up. And, you know, this could be a panel-style discussion if you so choose for it to be a panel-style discussion. So I wanted to start out with something in particular. It's a story that's kind of unrelated, but I think it's important and something that we need to look at. Did you see Joe Biden in Poland talking to the U.S. troops yesterday? Let me know out there if you saw that. Joe Biden talking to the U.S. troops in Poland yesterday, and what he said that they, you know, his people rolled back and said it was a gaffe. You know, he's the gaffe king. He's always kind of talking out the side of his neck and, you know, saying shit that he's not supposed to say. So he said something that was very interesting to the troops in Poland the other day. Now, these are U.S. troops, and I want to ask the question, are U.S. troops going to be in the Ukraine fighting? Is this what's next? Is this what's next? And I'm gonna actually put it up here. Let's go ahead and get it started, man. I can open up the phone lines. They're already open. Are U.S. troops headed to Ukraine to fight? If so, do you agree or disagree? But let's get into this little sound bite from Joe Biden talking to the troops in Poland. And this is on the Washington Examiner. All right, this is President Joe Biden, Jim Crow Joe.
Another stepping up. And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle front of a damn tank, just saying, I'm not leaving. I'm holding my ground. They're incredible. The reason why, when the Secretary of State asked me if I'd send another 12,000 troops along to the United States, I said, yeah, from the United States. Don't jump. You guys are used to jumping.
Let me run that back.
Don't jump.
Not that. Let me run that back. Let me run that back real quick. How do I rewind this bullshit? I just want to run that back real quick. Give me a second. Easy to use on some of these websites. Let's see. There we go. Let me just let that back. And we can just check the audio out. We don't even have to look at it. I'm going to remove it, but just listen again.
Because now they're stepping up. And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle front of a damn tank.
You're going to see when you're there. You're going to see when you're there. So did Joe Biden just make one of his historical gaffes, or was he really, exposing the plan right there? Do they plan on sending U.S. troops to the Ukraine to fight? Do you agree or disagree? Actually, you can give us a call, 515-605-9708, 515-605-9708. I might be taking a little hiatus because I'm going to have to get Comcast out here to look at this damn internet, because this is like I've been complaining about it the last few shows, And this is getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. I can't even do my show in peace without Comcast and all the bullshit. So bear with me with any technical difficulties today. Like I said, this is a really important conversation, perhaps one of the most important conversations we've had. I'm not even on Sailor Jerry's, man. I'm green teeing it out today with some water. So I was on Noble's show earlier today, the world class, man, and having a real good conversation, chopping it up with some brothers. So shout out to those brothers out there. Yeah, I'm looking at myself on YouTube. Who we got out there, man? I see a couple of ghost watchers, man. Y'all don't want to identify yourselves. Friend or foe, friend or foe. Don't make me get the C words out of the building. Don't make me get the C words out of the building. I will do it. Speaking of C words out of the building, this show today, I'm focusing on black politics and black media and certain people that you saw on the thumbnail in particular. So we have Ketanji Brown Jackson. We have Clarence Thomas. We also have Mark Lamont Hill. Some people say Lemoist. And Joy Parker. Reed. Joy Reed Parker. What is Joy? Joy Reed. That's her name. Joy Reed. I'm sorry. Kamau Bell. W. Kamau Bell. Very interesting character. We're going to look at Kamau Bell and who he's speaking to when he was coming out with the Bill Cosby fiasco. It didn't work, and he knows it. And it's funny in this interview that he does with Trevor Noah. He knows he doesn't. He knows he's done. He's done. But let's talk about how people are basically used by the powers that be, and how they're used, and usually how they end up, and what messages they're used to promote. Now, a couple of things about Clarence Thomas. With his wife being at the, you know, present for or involved in the Capitol insurrection, some way or somehow, allegedly, just all they have is some text messages from her to Mark Meadows, and you know we're running a news story on that. But before we get into it all the way, I want to talk about something that Dr. Martin Luther King said. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it was a part of his, you know, famous, iconic I Have a Dream speech, in which he, you know, stated that he had a dream that one day his four little children would be judged not for the color of their skin, but for the content of their character. Let that sink in. Not for the color of their skin, but for the content of their character. And I know it seems cliche, but it's something that perhaps we have not fully grasped the gravity of those words. See, within that, it wasn't just a chastisement to white society. It was also gain for black society. Don't judge anybody for the color of their skin. Don't judge anybody because of their gender. These are all things that people really can't control, but for the content of their character. And the United States, for some reason, has a hard time grasping that as in general. But it becomes more destructive to us because we tend to put all of our support behind just phenotypical traits that one may or may not share with us. And that's on both sides. You know, when Obama was running, and I was very politically immature at the time, I'm not going to sit up and act like I was some kind of scholar. I was in college. I was, you know, under the indoctrination process. So, you know, my mind was a sponge. It was wide open to all types of ideas. Certain ideas and certain lanes I wasn't going to go down, but certain lanes, you know, were open. I was curious about things. So I was, of course, going to vote for Obama, but I was at my job, and I worked for a title loan company at the time. I was just starting, and, you know, we were coming in contact with a lot of people in Alabama, different people that, you know, did business with us, and some people were, you know, rednecks, Let's just, you know, let's keep it a buck. They were rednecks. So this one guy came in, and that's when McCain and Palin was running against Obama and who was Biden. Oh, damn. Okay, yeah. Biden. And so he said, who are you going to vote for? Don't tell me Obama. It was an old white man. I said, yeah, I was planning on voting for Obama. Well, don't tell me you're voting for him because he's black. I said, of course I'm voting for him because he's black. He like, well, that's just a stupid reason to vote for somebody. And I said, well, I'm sure you know people that are voting for him that aren't voting for him because he's black too, right? And he just stopped. Is that just not a stupid reason as well? And that was my response. And I kind of, you know, stopped him in his tracks. And actually, the mammy that was in charge of the store, some ghetto chick, she was in charge of the store. She actually came over and chastised me in front of the guy for talking about it. But he asked me the question. I mean, was I supposed to tell him to shut the hell up? I mean, I just, you know, I gave him the answer. So anyway, it almost became a big to-do. I actually almost lost my job over that shit. But I'll never forget that conversation. It's just as stupid to vote for somebody because of their race as it is to vote against them because of their race. It's equally as stupid. But we have this thing with phenotype and this identification. And we feel like we have more than just shared traits. We feel like we have shared experiences. But a lot of these people don't have shared experiences. That's the difference between, you know, us and immigrants. That's why we can't really get on code with immigrants, because they don't have the shared experience of, you know, blacks that, you know, are native to America or came from America, I guess you could say. Foundational black Americans. But that's why we can't seem to get on code with people, because of these, you know, made up factors almost. Or maybe I shouldn't say made up. The concept of race is totally made up. And we'll get into that today as well when we get into what the word Caucasian really means. I think that's funny as well. But it just shows you how we'll talk about that later. Let me stay on track. So Mark Lamont Hill. BNC News Network is no more. They've shut down the Black News Channel. And it's only been around for about 2 years, but I know y'all remember back when Bill Cosby got out of prison and Mark Lamont Hill had Judge Joe Brown on BNC, and I showed those clips on the show just to show you how ridiculous and anti-black BNC really was. Come to find out, BNC was never really black owned anyway. It's owned by the guy that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he decided to go and shut that shit down. The reason he shut it down is because of people like me and you and everybody else in the community that's in the YouTube community, not the black community. I believe we got a black nation, but everybody in the YouTube community, the black media, the people that are putting the message out there. Maybe we don't agree on every aspect of everything, but we're still on code. And I believe that's the only thing that really matters. Phenotype does not matter. I don't give a shit what you look like. I don't care about that. All I care about is whether you're on code or not. Mark Lamont Hill is not on code. Clarence Thomas is not on code. And I think the world has pretty much recognized that from day one. Kamau Bell is not on code. Joy Reid is not on code. Ketanji Brown Jackson is not on code. Kamala Harris is not on code. And you can check the records. The Lockheed Martin case, I was done with Brown Jackson. There's other black women that could do the job. But it's a reason they want her. And, you know, some of the answers to her questions, the way that she got around answering a lot of questions and the way that she deferred responsibility in a lot of questions, being a judge, That should give you your answers, not what was coming out of a mouth, and definitely not what was coming out of some ignorant-ass Republican's mouth. And that's where they got us. They got us on that when you started showing clips of Lindsey Graham talking to her, Ted Cruz talking to her. These people are joshing with her. They all part of the same damn clique. For those who don't know, do this research. Her cousin, through marriage, her husband's cousin is Paul Ryan, the old Speaker of the House. And you know what his views were, right? He ran for vice president. Wasn't he running with Romney, if I'm not mistaken? Romney Ryan? Wasn't it Romney Ryan? Didn't he have to debate Joe Biden at one point in time? Somebody brought up a good word, and I urge everybody to look into this. I'm not the foremost authority on this concept at all, by far, but it's something I'm researching. I'll let y'all in on what I'm researching. I'm researching the term neoliberalism. And it doesn't have anything to do with Democrat or Republican, because Democrats and Republicans are both neoliberalists. Look up neoliberalism. And, you know, we might go into that a little bit together. But when somebody says left wing, right wing, you got to keep in mind it's the same damn bird. So it's all planning on going the same damn direction. Right? I want to show, started with moisture. Let's get started with the moisture, man. Let's get the show wet up. I want to talk about and show a clip, and it's a kind of a lengthy clip, but I think it's important that we, let's just check it out. I actually don't want to show it. I just want to play it. But it's Mark Lamont Hill and Candace Owens.
Just because you think something doesn't make it real.
Candace Owens is problematic, no doubt. But just check out your boy, man. Check out some of the answers to some of the questions. And I'll just play a clip of it. Fair use.
That's exactly what gender is. Gender is exactly about an experience and a performance and a social construct.
It's not a social construct. Stop saying a social construct. To say that words don't have meaning and they're socially constructed means nothing. And I'll tell you why.
Well, they are.
But you say that, but then you'll let
this,
me get
this was always a book.
Okay,
this
so
could
then,
be called mug.
So then you know what it is? Our entire discussion about Black America meant nothing. There's no such thing as racial injustice. See what I did there? Because Black is a social construct.
Yeah, but we live in a social reality. So within that social reality...
You can't be both, Mark. You either
sure
think that
be.
The gender wage gap is BS, that feminism is wrong, and that racial disparities are all BS because everything's a social construct. You're either going to go full postmodernist and say nothing is real and it's all made up, or you're going to acknowledge that there are some hard, concrete truths. If there are hard, concrete truths, you and I are Black, okay? That's not going to change because we wake up and we decide, you know what, today I'm white and it's just how I feel, and today I'm Chinese. No, no, no. You and I are Black, okay? We are acknowledged as Black people. We're sitting down as Black people. I am a woman. You are a man. Okay? Now, if I want to wake up tomorrow and say I'm a man, you want to say you're a woman, and we want to play the crazy game, we can do that. To then say all of society now is to pretend that it was all a social – no, it was a social construct. You were born a male. I was born a female.
Yes, that's a fact.
We are Black. Okay? It's a color, though. Black is it's a word that we use to say a sex. Female is a word that we use that has a meaning.
Yes,
it means you are born with a vagina. You can have children. You have a uterus. When you are a male, you are born with a penis. You can get a woman pregnant. These words have real meanings. We cannot suddenly get into society where there are no truths.
So to acknowledge a social construct does not mean that we ignore biology, and it doesn't mean that we don't have.
Can men get pregnant?
Depends. I know.
What does it depend on?
I know trans men that can get pregnant.
That means it's a woman. Only one sex can get pregnant.
That's a circular argument.
It's not a circular argument.
Yeah.
It's proving my thing. There is a truth.
Okay. Y'all are getting where this is going. But this is just a taste of your boy, Mark Lamont Hill, and some of the ideas that he was propagating on a Black News Channel. And they wonder why it went out of business. And I was looking at the numbers, man. The numbers were horrible. I don't have a lot of subscribers. But matter of fact, better yet, if you're listening and you're not a subscriber, subscribe. Subscribe to the show. Do it right now. I promise you. It ain't going to do no but get better. And actually, also visit www.thebigmicdrop.com. I got Fire Your History Teacher t-shirts, man, mugs, I'm on this shit for real. Uh-oh. Shot fired. Trill Hands boxing team in the building. What's happening, son? Yeah, man, but anytime you find yourself taking Candace Owens' side on a black issue, and like I said, Candace Owens is problematic too because Candace Owens gets a check just from becoming the antithesis of blackness at the end of the day. But for some reason, nobody has a problem with Ketanji Brown pretty much doing the same thing as Candace Owens is doing, Ketanji Brown Jackson. You know, I find that weird. I find that strange. But if you notice, the left is on code. All these different organizations and intersectional interests groups, and that's pretty much what they are. See, that's the thing about the United States of America. And if you study, if I believe it was Thomas Jefferson or John Adams, it was one of the two, that felt like the United States would eventually succumb to interest groups and lobbies and, you know, just these different, you know, special interest groups. And then politics will become basically identity politics, which is hard to achieve and hard to maintain in what you call a melting pot, a place where damn near everybody is represented in the world, in America, in the United States. So that's going to be interesting how that plays out with these different special interest groups. So what they understand that we don't understand is that they do understand that race totally made up social construct. And I'm going to prove that today for those of you who are listening. So stay to the end. It's going to be a special treat. Like I said, give us a call, man, 515-605-9708. If you have anything on the topic, are U.S. troops going into headed to the Ukraine to fight? Did Joe Biden slip up and expose the plan? Is his dementia acting up? Is he going to be able to make it all the way through his term? Will Kamala Harris become the first female president? Even better question, what will her race be? Prime example of phenotype. So yeah, let's listen to Lamonte a little bit more. Let's listen to this bomb ass argument.
Concrete truth. You have to be born with a uterus to have a baby. Only women can get pregnant. The fact that we've arrived in a society
right, that's the part I'm disagreeing with. That's the part I'm disagreeing with.
There's nothing to disagree with. These are facts. So you can say that this person who is pregnant identifies as a man. That person was born a woman. I can tell you that every single time because only women can have sex because there are concrete truths about life.
Can have babies.
And that is a hard truth about life. You cannot make that go away because you want to call a man somebody who has a beard and dresses like a dude a woman. Only if it's pregnant, I can tell you exactly what it is. It's a woman.
So I'll give you – let's go back to the social construct thing because then it'll answer the thing you just said. I'm not ignoring what you just said. I want to tie it together. So the idea of – my point was that a social construct doesn't ignore physical realities, right? The social construct is about how we as a society make sense of those physical realities, right? So, for example, you said we're black. Sure, right? I'm trying to think of you pick a light-skinned black person, right? They're black, right? We'd agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the PR. Let's go to Puerto Rico. Let's go to Jordan. Let's go to Iraq. Let's go to Sudan. Let's go to Ghana, right? And let's go to South Africa. I'm picking these places very specifically because they have different racial logics and racial paradigms. And what it means to be black here, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a universal blackness, right? That in Dominican, there might be five different other racial categories, right? And there are...
Okay. That right there was the truth. That was a fact. Did you peep what he said? There is no universal blackness to the Martin Luther King statement that you not be judged on the color of your skin, but by the content of your character. And your character can be judged by your actions. Your actions can be figured out by studying and not just taking what they put out in front of you because it looks like you. It's irresponsible and it's harmful. What's wrong with the community if you continue to vote us into oblivion? This last election was my last election being a default Democrat, because it's been slap in the face after slap in the face after slap in the face with these people. Y'all got the point on Mark Lamont Hill. This is exactly why BNC failed. BNC became, they had a message, and he liked to use the word R-A-you-know-what-E, culture, to describe black men. And this was the type of narrative that was, I'm not saying it was overarching, but with him, it was very prevalent. With him, this man took his public platform they thought was going to be bigger than everybody else. See, they kicked him off CNN. They kicked him off CNN for talking about Palestine and Israel. So you lost your job talking about some shit way over there that we have zero to do with, really. I don't have shit to do with that. And you traded in that platform on CNN. You went out on a limb for that. And then you trade that in and you come over here needing a job to promote this type of bullshit to us. This type of confusion to us. I resent it and I hate it. When we say that we're done with emotional wins, a black person having a job doesn't have anything to, no benefit to me. What are you going to do with that power and that position? If you don't do nothing with it, I ain't just still rocking with you because you black. Your phenotypical makeup is the surface. That's all it is. It's a surface. People that will literally talk married people into breaking up their homes over similar things that they will do for people that they don't know. I hope that made sense. Don't ask me to repeat it. I see we got some people in here, man. Hit the like button, subscribe, and share this video. Hit the like button, subscribe, and share on this Sunday afternoon. First day of the week, man. We're getting the week kicked off real, real good. Real good. Give us a call, 515-605-9708. If Ketanji Brown Jackson's job is doing something for you, please call in and let us know. Educate us as to what it's doing for you. We got Miss Amber Alert in the building. I'm like Judge Clement when it comes to this, man. We have too much at stake politically in this country right now as black people to be playing around, man. We cannot afford to drop the ball. And this has nothing to do with being no racist or none of that shit. We got too much at stake. We don't even understand the attack. And for those of you who haven't listened or ever heard or listened to Neely Fuller Jr., look that name up, N-E-E-L-Y-F-U-L-L-E-R Jr., Neely Fuller Jr. Listen to some Neely Fuller Jr. I might find some and put it on my page, man, just so y'all could check it out. Just, you know, for the free. I mean, I can't charge for the man's content or his intellectual property. But Neely Fuller Jr. talks about how intersections create these buffers between white supremacy and black liberation, true black liberation. True black liberation, which case right now, it should come in a form of economic compensation and a tax-free status. That's just my opinion. That would be how I would approach it. But that's real black liberation. And Jamaica's on the verge of actually getting it done. They could possibly be getting it done. And one question, just, you know, out the blue, conspiracy theory, Mike. Does anybody know what the Queen has said about this? Has anybody read anything or seen anything in writing or comments or phone calls, anything from Queen Elizabeth on this? I don't know. It's like she fell off the face of the earth and then Russia invaded Ukraine. And everybody's just, you know, conspicuously quiet. We got Super Dave in the building. Glad to have you, brother. Glad to have you. Do me a favor, man. Get my likes up, man. Everybody hit the like button. Hit the like button, man, especially if you're on YouTube. Let's get it, man. Let's get it. Let's get it out here. But Mark Lamont Hill was trying to corner the black media. Basically, what they were trying to do is a concept called short-stopping people like, you know, us that are on YouTube speaking facts and speaking the truth, how we see it. See, all these people on these news channels, that's how you can have a 24-hour news cycle, because you have mostly opinionated commentary. It's not really journalism. All of those people aren't going to get the story. They're just coming in front of you, presenting the story, and then adding their take on it and spin on the story. Now, that spin can be from a spin cycle, or it can be their personal spin that they put on the story. So everything is spent to look a certain way, and it's ultimately deceptive, and blackness is no different. If they know that they can promote the wrong messages through black people, if they know that they can crowbar their rights through black people, if they know that they can get paid off of using black people, guess who's going to be delivering you the message? A black person. It's always somebody out here black that doesn't necessarily identify with what you or I identify with, and then they're willing to take that bag to get out here and say and do anything. Gail at Night in the building. What's up, Gail? I'm glad you're in here, Gail. Let me see something. I think I could do that now. I gave you a wrench, I think, Gail. I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm like, I don't really look at YouTube while I'm doing this. I'm just on the StreamYard looking. So I'm like, let me start looking at YouTube today. So I got you today. What's happening with your sister? Man, Gail at Night, man, good people, man, real good people. And I want to hear from, you know, some of my sisters out here today, man, about this Tonji Brown Jackson situation. What does it do for you? Now, I ran up on this young lady on YouTube, and I'm going to play a clip of her, because she was kind of explaining, and she was using Joy Reid's show, but she was explaining what this does to, I guess, a black woman's ego. I don't know if I necessarily think that that's the right approach, but it's from somebody who truly feels the passion, that they're compassionate and they're dedicated to what they're saying on this. So, you know, you can't really help but to, you know, give them a shot, right? Give me one second here. All right. Let me get off of that. I already had it in my history, so let me get back to it. Oh, man, I lost a subscriber, man. Okay, so this is from a young lady named Shantavia And it says, Joy Reid's new show is a win for smart black girls. So I'm going to play Miss Shantavia. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'll just play some of it. And by the way, this is just for commentary. This is all fair use. Claiming this is my content or any shit like that. So let me share that. I'm going to remove it, though. All right. So check this out. This is Joy Ann or Joy Reid's show. New show is a win for smart black girls. Now, she just had the show. She's had the show about, 2 years now. So let's see. Let's just go back and see.
Everybody, this is Shantavia from Shantavia.com, and I wanted to hop on today to say congratulations to Julianne Reed and to explain why I think what's happening with her today is a win for smart black girls. So if you don't know who Julianne Reed is, she's written 3 books. She's a dynamic journalist. She's a speaker. She's a writer. She's a professor at Syracuse University. And tonight, she's making her debut as the first black woman to host a primetime talk show on a major news network. And the reason this is such a huge win for smart black girls is because historically, especially on television, we only get opportunities and we're only successful when we're loud, when we fall in line with all these ridiculous stereotypes of black women.
I would push back on that because, I mean, growing up even in the deep south of Alabama on the Gulf Coast, I mean, we had, you know, shout out to Renee Dowles and women like that, Lanice Ligon, that were on the news. They were news anchors. Eleanor, you know, these people were news anchors, man. So I'm having a hard time understanding. There's so many more, even Carlos Finley's wife. You know, these ladies were news anchors and they were successful. They weren't loud. They didn't have to portray that. So. I don't understand why we can skip over all of that. If you want to say progress, breaking glass ceilings, you know, how can we skip over all of that to just celebrate somebody that you know is going to tell you a lie? MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, they are liars. Damn, the only news you can really look at is your local news in the morning to honestly get any halfway honest reporting and journalism about anything. So I wouldn't overlook the contributions of those women just to give all of these props and say that this is a win for smart black girls. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, Joe Biden is funny because Joe Biden, I'll get that later. Let me go ahead and keep going. Yo, man, we got that guy in the building. What up, man? Laquan Battle said, cancel all the niggas. They have no interest in the black community, children, or progress together. No, they don't. No, they do not. And appreciate you, Gail, man. We got Gail in the building. She's doing her thing. Awesome. But yeah, man, y'all get the likes up, man. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Hit subscribe and like, man. And let's share this video, man, and get it out here. So I'm going to go ahead and continue with this young lady. And this is no offense to the young lady. Like I said, it just offers insight into psychological triggers. But there's some things that are overlooked.
And why, you know, like we just hardly ever really see these kinds of opportunities for smart black girls. The people who are lauded in the media and on social media are people who are well known for other things, for entertaining people in one way or another, not smart black girl. And so I'm just so excited for her personally, but also what this means for smart black girls, because before her, you know, there really weren't that many smart black girls on television. There was Oprah, there was Gwen Ifill, there was Tamron Hall on a couple different shows in the news.
See, she didn't even mention Rolanda, man. I can't take it seriously. It's almost delusional to overlook the amount of progress and the amount of black women that have been on television. Now, she might be the first one on TV telling you all lies. Well, she would be the second, third. I think you got, what's her lady name? Oprah. And what's her homegirl name? What's her name? Gail. No offense to Gail at Night. Not Gail at Night. You know what I'm saying? But Gail King. Yeah, that's her name. I think I had a clip with her on there. But is there any truth to this? Is there some kind of psychological release that black women get, or psychological validation that black women get just because? Just because another black woman gets a job? Jackie Reed, old school BET. Absolutely. Yeah, man, for real. BET. What was the lady's name that was on the news? Angela Stribling on BET. I mean, it was all type of people. She came through with like Tavis Smiley and people like that. So as we strive to integrate, and that's really the problem, is this total and permanent integration we want to achieve. I'm going to stop sharing that. That was just a clip. But this permanent and total integration we want to achieve is actually going to become something that undoes what we're trying to ultimately achieve. This is just a society we can't fully integrate into. And most people in America never do fully integrate into American society. All of these different groups that come in, they section themselves off and they look out for one another. It's a code. I'm going to tell you who's good at that, or used to be good at that, an out-of-town situation. And that was Mobile niggas, man. Shout out to Mobile niggas, man. Shout out to my Mobile niggas, man. For real. If you get anywhere outside of Mobile and you run into a nigga from Mobile, it's a code. It used to be. I guess for people around my age group, most definitely, it's a code. You don't even have to say nothing. If you're having a problem with some dudes and they coming to jump on you and it's a nigga from Mobile and y'all met and know each other from Mobile, you ain't even got to ask him if he's going to help you fight. If you need something, you don't have to go to anybody else to get anything. And I think that's a strange dynamic, being that the city is so violent and seems to be fracturing right before our very eyes. The Mobile boys used to give all them Alabama colleges hell. And it should be that way everywhere with all black people, but we're not a monolith. And just because someone shares your phenotypical traits does not mean that they are you. Wolves and dogs, let's just say coyotes and dogs look alike. Coyotes and dogs look just alike. You can't really tell the difference between a coyote and a dog unless you get up close. And in certain situations, you might not be able to tell then until you try to pet it and say, come here, Fluffy, and it mauls you and gives you rabies. So we can't approach things that we think look a certain way. Most people I know that have been sprayed by a skunk said they approached the skunk because they thought the skunk was a cat. You don't really hear about skunks just running up on folks. You know, if a skunk see you, it's not just going to start running at you. You know, so these people run up on the skunk, and the skunk ain't really worried. He ain't going to run away and move because he know he's going to hit you with that piss. And you're going to be smelling like doo-doo. You're going to need tomato juice and everything. Let's see. We got 786-9790. What's up?
Yeah, man, what's happening, man?
Man, what's happening with you, brother? Man, we got Trill Hands Boxing Team in the field. What's up, bro?
I was listening, man, but hello? I called in as soon as they just said. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
I had to call in. Yeah, I hear you. as soon as that girl said that she's the first black, Zoe was the first black woman, to, you know, to have her own talk show or something like that. I think it's about time that we get away from this first black type of thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't get motivated by everybody having the first black something. Just because they're
right.
the first black person to do anything, it don't mean that it benefits us nowhere. You just,
right.
it's basically, you know, I'm the first black person to move into this white neighborhood type thing. You need to get away from that shit. I mean, that stuff.
Right. No, you can cuss. I'm be good. This is Sunday.
I do that. I just got tired of hearing that stuff, man. First black dude, the first black kid. When?
Hey, Sean, you on the Bluetooth?
Thanks for Well, let me
you're on a Bluetooth? Keep going in and out.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I want them to hear what you're saying out there because what you're saying is important.
You hear me?
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot better. All right, repeat what you just said. Oh, damn. Lost it, man. He dropped. Hopefully he'll call back. But I'm paraphrasing. But he was basically saying we need to get away from this first black stuff. That needs to stop being a thing. And I'll say this, 500 years into our damn nation's history, damn near, the simple fact that it's still a thing is a goddamn shame. But Joe Biden blocked a black woman from getting on the Supreme Court back when he was a senator. Did y'all know that? You back? Yeah, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm
got
back,
you.
Man. Yeah. Like I said, I just take it's time for us to get away from that, the first black. Something to do something, man. It's we're not benefiting us at all, man. All it's doing is just showing that we want acceptance. So,
right.
I just hate the fact that we always got to use that first black concept. And for so long, and all these years, never really benefited us to do nothing. You know, everybody
no,
black
really
we put in there. Everybody black that we put in there hadn't done a damn thing. But kiss ass and just wanted it, what you call it, they wanted to have a seat at the table. That's it.
Right.
Ain't did nothing. You know? Yeah,
right.
I got you. I got you syndrome. Yeah, I got you. But then they ain't got nothing. What about that thing you said you're going to do for me? Yeah, I got you. Hold up. I got something in the works right now. But then you know all along that they ain't going to do nothing.
Right. I mean, look at what Pritch is going through right now with the water. I mean, these aren't, you know, white people doing this to them. It's black people. It's people that look just like you. And Gail at Night said, yeah, I don't care about that first black stuff. We were already first. There's nothing new under the sun. Facts. We were talking to a brother earlier today, and a brother was talking about history and said how we have to get away from history and his story. And I'm like, we really don't have to get away from it. We just have to take over control of it. We are the first recorders and speakers of history. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to get back and get control of history and take advantage and figure out where the lies are and correct the lies. So, yeah, absolutely right. There's nothing new under the sun. Sean, you still with me? All right, we got another call on the line. We got another call on the line. 404.
Yo.
You're on
a
big microphone. Yeah, I hear you. Who we got?
Here we go, man. You know, I'm sick. I'm getting sick and tired of all these niggas, whether it's a female or whether it's a nigga, because they have no interest in the community of black people as a whole. I'm curious, and I'm so waiting and anticipating for when this reelection thing come up, how many niggas is going to be dragged to the front line with their girl? Oh, well, Kamala tried to do this for the black community, but they kept stopping her doing this, just like this lady running for Supreme Court. You talking about pedophilia and all this stuff. I mean, where are we going? Where are these
right.
niggas taking us to? And for people that
right.
believe in these people, I mean, my nigga, you no good to nobody. They don't want your black ass. They want you there to continue to disturb the black community, meaning their household, the education, and the real programs that we need, and the structure. But yet and still, the points and their talking points, their agendas and everything, it works against us in so many ways, in every way. And I mean, right. Niggas really need to wake up and get these niggas out of here. I don't care if they rappers, entertainers, Supreme Court, I hate them all. Yeah. I mean, because it's right there in front of your face.
Well, even the rappers are starting to change, and I was going to bring that up, man. I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't know if you pay attention to the rappers here in Atlanta, but Quavo and Offset both made reference to, you know, different things that are going on politically, and these were true facts. Like Offset made the statement on Twitter about all of this money going over to the Ukraine, but nothing has to Black Americans, which was a powerful statement for somebody in his position to make. I really appreciated him making that. Also, Quavo brought up the point about, why are we going to their Grammys? Why don't we have our own Grammys? So perhaps, you know, maybe it's a turn in the spirit of what's going on in the rap game right now. Hopefully.
Okay. Well, you know, I feel that. But guess what? Them niggas are even more detrimental than ever. I don't give a shit about no Ukraine. Sell some of them $500,000 chains that you wanting and everything else. Create a program to get some of these water boys off these corners running up to people's cars just trying to make some money.
Facts.
You understand what I'm saying? I don't give a shit about the Ukraine. They ain't talking about Ukraine. Okay, you bring up that point. So guess what? In somebody's head, that's going to be the reverse mentality. Whereas, oh, you know what? Well, maybe we ought to support the Ukraine. It's all on TV now, so we need to support it. He's a rapper. Who want to take him serious? You got these houses. You got these $1,000 a chain. You make one quote, so what, you political? You move in these neighborhoods. Guess what? You move in these neighborhoods. You think these crackers respect you? They sitting up there looking at their watch and they time. Why? Because they know pretty soon, nigga, you ain't going to be able to afford it. You don't got nothing else to support or stabilize yourself outside of this temporary rap career. They put you on TV, and that's supposed to sustain you. You don't have nothing else going on beyond that point.
Damn.
You know, you moving this nigga, I stay around white people, this and that. These people don't care.
They don't care.
They don't even want your black ass there. That's why you don't know your neighbors. You live in there, you're renting there, but they don't want you in that community. They don't care about how many Ferraris you got. Why? Because they looking at their watch and they saying, you know what, pretty soon when the taxes come up next year on this Ferrari, that's going to be gone. Oh, the houses, you know, the taxes on this house, guess what? That's going to be gone. Well, where the change at this point? Oh, well, you know, Johnny nephew owns the big pawn shop that sold him the fake jewelry. He's going to bring it back over there. Let's recycle it.
Yeah, it was fake. Right.
You know, you sitting up there, you know, people talk all this shit about Kanye West. Let me tell you something. Kanye West has surprised so many niggas in so many different levels. I mean, it's ridiculous. But here we go, the programming. Oh, Kanye, he's erratic. Oh, Kanye this. Oh, Kanye that. People going by what they say instead of listening to the things that he actually is saying.
Right.
If this man is
like
talking about trying to do something for his kids and his family, oh, well, he should have known Kim Kardashian. Oh, now he getting his black reality check. Well, what other niggas are standing up saying anything about their damn kids?
And when
I forgot. Niggas going for future, right?
But when the Republicans were giving Katanji the business, they didn't say she was getting her black wake-up call. You notice that? None of the sentiment is that she's getting her black wake-up call when she's faced on, you know, in a confirmation hearing on Republicans. All it's doing is galvanizing people behind her on false pretenses just because she appears to be black.
Oh! Look at how they attacking her. Look, why they asking her all these type questions? And I mean, for her not to have a definitive answer as a woman, what a woman is, really? And then you got a white husband, which absolutely has no premise, but you have a white husband, but yet and still you don't have no definitive stance on pedophilia or anything like that. But they're attacking her. She's black. We supposed to defend that, right?
Right, we supposed to get behind.
You're not supposed to question that. You're not supposed to question that.
Right. And so, I'll say this, man. These are things that need to be publicly addressed. Because, you know, being silent is implied consent. So
indeed.
We can no longer afford to be silent any longer. That shit's out the window. Those who are silent, we're just going to figure you with it at this point in time. Because everybody has a voice. Everybody has a platform nowadays. So the more of us that stand up and talk about these type of inconsistencies on a regular basis, you know what I'm saying, the better off we'll be. What up, guys? Sorry about that. That's my cousin in the building.
No, that's cool. You know, the thing of it is, even with some of these black so-called YouTube channels, I have a strong belief that a lot of these niggas been compromised, even at the smallest level, because I think there's a huge fight where a lot of these niggas, they want to be mainstream. They want to be a lot more than what they are versus just having an open conversation or a dialogue so that people can express their feelings, so that people that's really in the true know, in the black community, the true fathers that are striving to stay with their families, that can walk through as these so-called vicious neighborhoods with peace, with their children, without being affiliated or have no ties to any of these things. These are the men. These are the women that need to be picked up, not these niggas that's already there and done forgot about everything else. They don't give a damn about your black ass. They can care less.
Well, I don't know if you can
not
see the screen.
Knowing.
I don't know if you can see the screen, man. But my cousin said she had a stance on pedophilia, sir. What are you saying?
She had a stance on pedophilia. As far as what? That they shouldn't be. They shouldn't get locked up. That they shouldn't get no time. Pretty much nothing. Nothing. I mean, you know, hey. You want to lock me up, give me some years for having some crack in my hand, but here it is, this nigga got a damn laptop, and he got my daughter picture up there. You want to give me a hard time for whooping his ass because I want to know why my daughter picture up there and say, hey, it's all right, he just was looking, he didn't do anything. I'm a father. So your cousin, that lady or whatever.
But it's funny she brought up being a mother when she was defending the 3-month sentence. When the prosecutor asked for 2 years, and apparently this was a pretty prosecutor. Uh-oh, what's going on in the background?
Say that again?
Yeah, I said there's something going on in the background. It's a lot of noise in the background. But
I hear you.
It's all good. And her answer to the woman question was a setup. She had a legal response to a gotcha question. Well, I don't understand what a gotcha question was on that woman situation. But matter of fact, I'm gonna play that because I just didn't understand the situation on that. Let me play that. I'm glad you brought that up, cuz. Give me one second. Don't hang with us, brother. I didn't catch your name when you
called. I got you. Fuquan, man.
Fuquan, man. Nice to welcome to the big mic drop, man. Yeah, I like what you're talking about. Brother. You dropped straight back. Sean still there with us? We got Sean.
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm going to let y'all talk, man.
Word. But let me see this here, man. Let me get to on this woman question, man, because this is a weird exchange to me as well. And I didn't like it, and I'm gonna tell you what I feel like getting ready to happen in connection with this. So I think this is this is only about a minute.
Can you provide a definition for the word?
Can y'all hear?
Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, y'all can hear?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide definition? Mm-hmm. I can't.
You can?
not in
okay.
this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The word, a definition?
Senator, in my work as I do, it's a dispute. If there's an issue, people make arguments.
Right.
Law, and I'm just
well,
not, so I'm not.
The fact that you give about as fundamental as a woman
Larger.
Hey, Fuquan.
Are hearing about.
Hey, I'm
yeah,
going to put
yeah.
you on mute. Put you on mute, all right?
Hey, thanks for watching. If you like this video, check out these other videos from USA Today to stay up to date with all the latest news.
All right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, man, she got a hidden agenda, man.
It's always a hidden agenda. And what she's going to do is she's going to give up. She's going to give up on the Supreme Court, and she's going to act a fool on trans cases.
Hey, man, when these dudes, like I said, remember the joke I made yesterday about boys from the D-League that ain't making it to the NBA? Gonna transition over, try to be females and shit. They go
right.
And they run their case to the Supreme Court. She gonna accept all that. And like
right.
I said, it's gonna be the first annual WNBA slam dunk contest.
I mean, what's gonna happen, man? And you know, think about this swimmer case. You know, DeSantis, you know, said that the swimmer wasn't the number one, wasn't the first place in there, and that the girl who was second place was actually first place. But what happens if a case like that does make it to the Supreme Court, and you have a person that really has to be a biologist to define what a woman is?
Come on, man. Damn.
Like, it's the same argument as the phenotypical argument. Hey, V-Lane, call in, man. Call in, man. That's not what she said she was saying. The guidelines that she used are universal. Plenty of judges have the same arguments. Right, gotcha. All right,
yeah,
what we're going to do is I'm gonna play this again. Gail is asking that I play that clip again because it was a lot of noise on the background.
Can you provide a definition?
So, here we go. We're going to run that one more time, okay?
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
In
okay.
this context,
so
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the
right.
law, and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not.
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
Okay. So you already know that Marsha Blackburn is coming at it from her perspective and her standpoint as a Republican. They know they're not going to stop her from getting on there. They're just joshing her. You know, so Vance Lane says, when the cases about transgender come before the court, her answer will be plastered all over the place. What would you say? A person with a vagina? No, I mean, I would say a person that answered that filled out the packet when Joe Biden said he wanted the first black woman in the Supreme Court. She could have just said that she's a woman. She could have answered the question like that. I'm a woman, and I'm the only woman I can talk for. And you would have still been just as safe. I'm not really concerned with her views on that, more so than I am her behavior in the Lockheed Martin case. I'm more concerned about that. I'm more concerned about her. Hold on. I'm going to mute you for a moment. I'm more concerned about her. $22 million away from 5,500 Lockheed Martin employees who were dealing with racism so bad that it led up to a shooting in which six people were killed, five of them black, because of their race at work. That's really what I'm concerned about. Now, she's not going to really have anything but a bunch of dissenting opinions to write for a long time in the Supreme Court. Unless they can figure out a way to pack the courts, she's going to have just dissents to write. That's pretty much what she'll be doing. And you'll find out her true way of thinking then. So it's not like she's getting ready to go up there and exercise a certain amount of power. But what if something like reparations comes up across her bench? What if in the future she has the potential to be on the Supreme Court for another 30 years? She's 51 years old. She could be on another 35 years. She could stay on till she dies if she chooses. So we're talking about judgments and the ability to interpret the Constitution and law into our grandkids' generation, until they're having kids. And some of us already have grandkids who have kids, and you're my age. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was loud. Sorry. Pick a judge and find a case I don't like. Who is a judge or politician that's doing it the way they want them and still in the game? No, man. It's deeper than that about the Lockheed Martin situation. Lockheed had already agreed to a settlement of $22 million. All she had to do was sign off on the paperwork. It's not just any judge in any case. It's the first black female judge that's going to the Supreme Court. I'm going to need you to be able to rule the way I need you to rule on reparations. We already got bamboozled with that clown Clarence Thomas. We were bamboozled. If we plan on using the court system to address any of our grievances, who sits on the court is perhaps the most important thing. And we definitely don't need everybody else using us to cut in line. You know, a lot of people give Clarence Thomas hell about the affirmative action, his rulings on affirmative action. But honestly, once affirmative action became a tool of white women and anybody else besides the people it was created for, it wasn't any use to us anyway. Now there are so many protected groups, it doesn't matter. You see what I mean? I'm going to unmute Sean. If he's still up there. Still up there, Sean? Yeah. Sorry about the noise in the background. And other brother dropped off. Fuquan dropped off, man. Man, it's good to have you on, though, Fuquan. But it's not just a case I don't like. She's heavy on precedent. See, I'm listening to the stuff about her because I judge people off the content of their character and their actions. That's a lesson I had to learn. I can't keep repeating that same mistake over and over again. So
I'm gonna say this on that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this on that. What black people are looking at is, like I said, they're looking at it too far on something on emotional context. They looked at a whole bunch of white Republicans chastising and verbally putting that work on a black woman. You know what I'm saying? They looked at it like that. What they do is, like I said, they act on emotion too much. Go back and look at what she did for us before we just jump on the bus and be like, hey, we ride with this broad right here. Nah.
Hey, same black folks refuse to see what Joe Biden is over with.
Hello?
Yeah, I said the same black folks refuse to acknowledge what Joe Biden did to Anita Hill.
Exactly. They ain't going back. And she damn that looked like Anita Hill a little bit. But see, the thing about it is, what happened after all that went down, you know, they showed a little picture of her with the little tear coming out of her eye and all that. She went right up there and was embraced by her white husband. So she didn't feel like she was protected by you niggas. She went right back to that white man who she feel like she's protected by. Come on, dog. Who put her in office? Who handpicked it? So you know who her loyalty is with, and ain't with us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's it. We Let me tell you something. As far as the people, hey man, we fucked out here.
We're leaving ourselves very little political. We're leaving ourselves very little political leeway to get anything done politically. I mean, you know, that would be the best course of action would be to try to get something done, you know, via courts and politics. You know, I just feel horrible that we'll be placing our grandkids and great grandkids in the position where they might be fighting in the damn streets if things don't get addressed in America. And this would be the life that we left them, you know, just because of our refusal to see things for what they are. Like I said, I gave the woman a fair chance. I've listened to all of her, you know, damn near all of it while I'm driving. I listened to it. But I some of the things that I see is she'll do anything for a client. So she just taking all type of cases, like with the Guantanamo thing and with all these other different things. You know, it's all about if she defers back to her client. Now, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But I thought that lawyers had discretion on which cases they could take and couldn't take. I didn't think lawyers were forced to take cases, but she is a public defender. She comes from a public defender background. So, you know, maybe that explains it. Hey, I'm going to be honest. My experience with public defenders is they're not saints, and they're not really doing niggas no favors either. So.
Hey, man, I always knew about public defenders having a very high L record when it comes to winning your case.
Right. As a federal defender, you don't have a choice. Right. That's what I was just saying. But at the end of the day, how many people did she defend that got loose, that got their freedom? A lot of times federal defenders just are people that can cut deals and get you to take a plea, a lot of, you know, in criminal cases. So that's usually what, you know, public defenders have a reputation for doing. You have to pay for a lawyer to get quality service. And then you get into these bureaucratic deep state arguments when you start talking about people that have spent their entire life in some sort of public service. I think you get a more balanced approach if you've done work in the private sector as well. Now, it would be different if she was a private defender. Private sector, but you know, who wants to take 25 cases and you making $45,000 a year as an attorney, or $50,000 a year, whatever public defenders make? I'm sure they make more than that. So, you know, that's going to skew your views and vision to the interest of the state. It's really not going to, you know, be ever in the interest of the person or the individual. I don't know. The only real problem I have with her is not white husbands. It ain't none of that. Because I do find it strange that the same people that had a problem with Clarence Thomas because he was married to a white woman, all of a sudden, like, putting pictures of the googly eyes and, oh, for a man to make me feel this.
All I see is love. I don't see
nothing
else.
Yeah, all I see is love. So all this divestment. Going on. Yeah. So, you know, it's people that are falling for the old okie doke. Oh, there ain't no black men out here. Black men ain't in college. Black men ain't doing this, when we the most represented in all of the above. You know, whatever. But yeah, it's a lot of divestment play going on with that as well. Like I said, she's in no real threat of being a real threat to any rights at this point in time, because the court is Republican, basically conservative control. But I find it interesting she is a strict constructionist like Clarence Thomas. She did say that. She believes a lot in precedent. And if you know anything about precedent law, what is America's precedence been up to this point? I want to talk about one last person before we get off. So we discussed Thomas, Mark Lamont Hill, Ketanji Brown Jackson. We talked about Joe Biden's gaffe and, you know, are U.S. troops headed to the Ukraine? You know, that's the next thing. I want to talk about this dude right here, though, man. And it was funny that he was on here with Trevor Noah of all people. But I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this. And this is on the Trevor Noah show. Fair use. Fair use. Don't be tripping. I want y'all to hear. W. Kamau Bell came out with a documentary a while back called We Need to Talk About Bill Cosby. And it just so happened to come out right after Bill Cosby, you know, left prison and was exonerated here just recently by the Supreme Court, was in the midst of all of this. So I'm sure y'all recognize this guy. This is the CNN front for the little racial people that goes and talks to the fake-ass KKK people, and he wants to just understand racism, and we're just trying to, you know, intellectualize, no action. He ain't got no action. He married to a white chick, too, you know, so, you know, a lot of that going on as well. So, you know, once again, an attack hit piece on Bill Cosby. And I just want you to listen to this guy's, this interview. Just listen to this interview. It's about 8 minutes long.
W. Kamau Bell, welcome to The Daily Show.
Yeah, maybe my last time.
Welcome. What do you mean your last time?
I feel like I might be doing my last
You know what I appreciate you, my friend, is the last time we spoke was like in the heart of the pandemic. I was in my apartment and you, I think, at home as well.
Yeah.
And we're talking and I said, you know, Kamau, every single time I see you talking about racism, you're talking about racism. You're always bringing the room down. You're talking about racism. And I see you felt that as a challenge. You were like, you know what, Trevor, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And this time, we're going to talk about Bill Cosby.
Oh, you thought I brought the room down before. The room is down, and they're down. A lot of them are down on me right now.
Why would you choose to do this? I remember you calling me, and you said, hey, I'm doing this documentary about Bill Cosby. Would you like to be in it? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
There is no reason I would want to be part of this documentary. But no, but in all honesty, it's because, I know this is strange to say, Bill Cosby just was not a cultural influence
in my
life.
No, we talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
And it was so weird to me because... Yeah. I'm glad I've watched this documentary because now I truly understand how big Bill Cosby actually was. So tell me why. Why do you think we need to talk about Cosby?
I appreciate you talking about that phone call because I got a lot of no's from a lot of people, and I've been very clear about, other than obviously Hannibal Buress, I haven't said who said no, so thank you for outing yourself here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so a lot of people said no?
Of course.
Well, I only said no because I didn't. I didn't feel like I could add to the conversation.
I mean, a lot of people, I mean, yes, I understand that, but I'm saying like a lot of, I mean, if you stack the yeses next to the no's.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's, and you know, and a lot of people had a lot of, I mean, I had some really great conversations like the one I had with you with people for a long time that ended in no. Yeah.
When you were getting all the no's, did you think, ooh, should I not be making this thing?
Yeah. That was one of the many times I thought. And right now, as I sit here, should I be making this thing? It's like, I can't explain it other than I'm always drawn to difficult conversations. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
And because Bill Cosby was such a huge cultural, racial figure in my life and so charted a path that I was like, that's the path I should be on. Do good work, be a comedian, but also do good in the world. Like a lot of black folks, specifically of my generation and older, we were just gutted to find out about all these allegations.
Right,
and then wrestled with, do I believe them? And I believe them. And so it's like, and that conversation's going in my head all the time. Every time he makes an appearance or sends out a tweet. And like I'm always thinking about it and talking to other people about it. And I found myself in a position where I was talking to the producers of this doc about it, and they were like, they had never thought about it this way, and so this is where we ended up. But yeah, it was, I can only say I was compelled to do it by something that was not rational.
I think you doing it has honestly opened up the hardest conversations that we need to be having in society, not just specifically about Bill Cosby, but about society as a whole, right? It feels like, especially when you watch this docuseries, that there are almost, you know, three generations of people that are going to exist.
Yes.
There are the people who came up with Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are sort of in the heart of that.
Yeah.
Like Cosby,
Cosby was one of the influences.
He shaped you.
Racing.
No,
yeah.
Shaped was part of shaping you,
mm-hmm.
really. You know, I mean, people were talking about this, you know, just before we came out for this interview, like my producers, and they were talking about how, like, in white families, they were like, Cosby, this is the biggest thing. It wasn't about black or white. It was Cosby.
He was America's dad.
America's
not black
dad.
America's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he had done so much. And, you know, we talk about how, you know, you learn this in the documentaries, like how Cosby changed stuntmen in America. Like Cosby was the one who said, hey, you can't have white guys in blackface doing a stunt. Just get black stuntmen.
Yeah.
He changed Hollywood forever.
Yeah. There were no black stunt performers under contract until Bill Cosby.
So you have this generation of people who goes, man, Bill Cosby changed my world in all the best ways. Mm-hmm. Then you have the now generation who goes like, well, I just know Bill Cosby as the rapist guy, right? And then you have the generation that goes like,
I'm going to stop it right there. I'm going to stop it right there. Because you're getting an understanding of where these people are going. And Trevor Noah is very problematic as well. Of course, you see, he got Kanye kicked off last week for basically telling the truth about him, because this sounds like pure coon babble, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on that, Sean?
Well, when it comes to that, I said he was muted, right?
Oh, yeah. Kamau Bell just said he admitted a lot of things in there, man. And the first thing that I really that really caught me was he asked Trevor Noah to be a part of it. And Trevor Noah is from South Africa. Yeah, Trevor Noah's from South Africa. If somebody is so unrelated, see what he was trying to do, in my opinion, is these people have been accustomed now to circumventing justice with public opinion. So they could come out with a documentary saying how terrible this motherfucker was, they have the victims and all this shit, and get the public to then send the person back to prison. Similarly to what they did to R. Kelly, was the same playbook, except Cos was in the Supreme Court. Cos protected himself, and, you know, it was such legal malfeasance on the part of the prosecution that the Supreme Court had to get involved, and they struck that shit down. Shout out to the Supreme
Court. Ahead and tell me. But anytime you have a failed a comedian that's had they had a failed, you know, career. You know what I'm saying? It's like the YouTube shit, like clout chasing. You could be the big dog on YouTube, okay, somebody's gonna make a response video about you to try to see if they can pull some of the energy that you got from your channel over to them. So with Bill being who Bill was and this dude being I don't even know who the hell that dude is. I never heard of him. So, Bill being who Bill was, he had to use somebody with a big name to, you know, bring some type of relevance or attention to himself. And that's how I feel about that, man. Like I said, I don't know that dude. Dude looks weird to me anyway. so I can't
mouth, man. He be having white shit collecting in his mouth while you talking on CNN. I seen one interview, and I'm like, man, won't nobody even tell that brother that you foaming at the mouth, dude? You know, that shit was gross,
cocaine,
man.
cocaine, man.
I didn't know whether he was rabid and man, he had COVID. I don't know what was going on, but it was pretty bad, man.
Cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the cocaine.
Hey, man,
wow.
I appreciate you for joining me today, man. I'm going to go on and wrap up. Stick on the show listening because I'm going to break down something just to show us that people are delusional and really we have no idea what the fuck we be talking about most of the time in this country.
Yeah, man.
So
I'll tell you what, man. What needs to go on, man? Like I said, man, I'm in Facebook prison right now.
Oh, damn.
So if I can share you, I could. I'm in Facebook jail. I can't even do nothing on that right now. Just look at stuff. But that is right here need to be a part two of this because sad part about it is, man, a lot of us gonna fall for the bullshit again of a blackface and what the Democrats say they're going to do for us and all that crap and get brought back into the same bullshit we in now, man. People need to start voting with intelligence and not emotion, man. That's really what's going on, man. But I get tired of looking at these fake-ass dudes, these fake-ass black folks, man, come up there talking about they represent us, they ain't representing us. You know what I'm saying?
Man, it was a British actor, man, that talked about that. Saying that the British actors should play black foundational black Americans in movies is because they don't have, what does it say? They're not connected to it so they could play it better or something of that nature. I forgot this nigga name, but one of them English niggas and tea and crumpets, you know, and saying that they should get parts played like the Harriet Tubmans and things like this. Even looking at that movie, Harriet Tubman, I did a show about this in when I was on audio podcast, you know, called No More Slave Movies, Please. Let's just stop the damn slave movies. It's done to death. You know, there are no stories you can tell me that are going to interest me from slavery that I can't read about in the book if I so choose to, you know, read about them. But these fake-ass accounts on these slavery movies, like this, the villain. I never watched the Harriet movie with the African chick. But the villain, apparently they had a black villain in the movie. And I just thought that was strange because there's no historically documented, there's no such figure that's historically documented by that name in the Harriet Tubman narrative, period. And so they use these different actors from these different countries to play these roles so they can crowbar that bullshit narrative into them. And it was like some kind of weird love affair between Harriet and her owner, her master. You know, this is just Hollywood bullshit. Yeah, it's weird, man. But I got a Hollywood idea for Trevor Noah. I think Trevor Noah should play Juicy Smollett in The Juicy Story. I think that's what he should
probably
do.
Serious, man.
Yeah, I think that's what he should do. He got a future in Juicy Smollett impersonations. I don't know where they get these people from, man. They just bring them and put them in front of us. Somebody writes a speech that sounds like it's halfway decent, and these niggas just flip. Come out, Bill. Go ahead.
Can I say this? I'm going to let it ride. Somebody working on something. But, hey, it's best for time for us, the celebrities, to make our political stamp, make our political views, and, you know, be the representation of us and speak for us. You know what I'm saying? Because they got to realize all these celebrities are fucked up in the head.
Right.
They pay to say what they're going to say. And, you know, they picked to, you know, put in front of us to get that attention, to draw our attention away from the real truth, man. These people ain't.
Right.
These people don't have no political background. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They talking about Colin Kaepernick, man. You know, he's still trying to get in the league.
Right.
He's still trying to get in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
I mean, when black folks gonna stop, you know, looking to celebrities, man, as their voice? You need to get the bag about that shit, man. It'll be your own voice. Because I can be out of my yard and I see whatever celebrity that's on top right now, walk down the street. I don't know if I'm speaking, keep moving. I'm not going to high praise, none of that. You know what I'm saying?
If I do that.
Because I don't look at them as no better than me. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, listening to celebrities, man, when it comes to certain shit, man, and, you know, even with the P. Diddy vote or die, and, you know, P. Diddy was going to vote Republican anyway. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, that money,
yeah. You need a tax cut.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. And I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
Put that out, I don't blame him. But nah, go for yours. Go for yours, man. But I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? You coming on. Ja King, man, what's popping, man? I ain't seen you in a minute, son. I ain't seen Ja King in a minute, man. Welcome back to the Big Mic Drop, brother. Welcome back. Hey, hang with me for a minute. I want to talk about this. You say you're working on something, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm all still listening.
Okay, all right, brother.
I'm going to highlight you, though, man. I'm still be on.
All right,
though.
Sean. All right, word, Sean. All right, bro. Free your hands boxing up the building. So, with that being said, like I said, Kamau Bell is just, you know, he's a clown. He over with. He did say one thing. You know, he was already nervous. He's like, man, I don't know. This might be my last time. I might not be famous no more. Which time? You know, he know what time it is. He knows exactly what time it is. And he said something irrational made him come out with this. So let's get back to it. Hold on. I want to get back to it because they said some other interesting stuff. But just notice he said that some irrational force made him come out with the documentary. But you'll find out why.
I said, you know, Kamau, every single time I see you talking about racism, you're talking about racism. You're always bringing the room down. You're talking about racism. And I see you felt that as a challenge. You were like, you know what, Trevor? I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And this time, we're going to talk about Bill Cosby.
Oh, you thought I brought the room down before. The room is down, and they're down. A lot of them are down on me right now.
Why would you choose to do this? I remember you calling me, and you said, hey, I'm doing this documentary about Bill Cosby. Would you like to be in it? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
There is no reason I would want to be part of this documentary. But no, but in all honesty, it's because, I know this is strange to say, Bill Cosby just was not a cultural influence
in my life.
No,
we talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
And it was so weird to me because I'm glad I've watched this documentary you made because now I truly understand how big Bill Cosby actually was. So tell me why.
Let's go through.
Well, I only said no because I didn't.
You keep going back
thought.
To the fact
and right now, as I sit here, should I be making this thing? It's like I can't explain it other than I'm always drawn to difficult conversations. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
And because Bill Cosby was such a huge cultural, racial figure in my life and so charted a path that I was like, that's the path I should be on. Do good work, be a comedian, but also do good in the world. Like a lot of
Y'all got it, man. Y'all got it. Y'all heard the whole thing. Rough day in the building, man. What's popping, man? So, to wrap up our conversation this afternoon, man, I got some other things I got to do, like eat. But to wrap up our conversations, I want to read this article that was in the New York Times, and it came out July 6, 2013, by Sheila Dewan. And it's a news analysis. It's called, Has Caucasian Lost Its Meaning? I just want to read a couple of, excerpts from that. Because a lot of times people think that Caucasian really has a meaning. It does have a meaning, but the meaning that we attribute to somebody that would be considered a Caucasian today isn't necessarily what a Caucasian is. So this was an interesting read, man. And like I said, it's in the New York Times. Check it out. It's by Sheila Dewan. It's called, Has Caucasian Lost Its Meaning? So, as a racial classification, the term Caucasian has many flaws dating as it does from a time when the study of race was based on skull measurements and travel diaries. It has long been entirely unmoored from its geographical reference point, the Caucasus region. Its equivalents from that era are obsolete. Nobody refers to Asians as Mongolian or blacks as Negroid. And yet, there it is in the recent Supreme Court decision on affirmative action, the plaintiff noted Justice Anthony M. Kennedy, in his majority opinion, was Caucasian. To me, having covered the South for many years, this term seems like one of those polite euphemisms that hides more than it reveals. There is no legal reason to use it. It rarely appears in federal statutes, and Census Bureau has never put a checkbox by the word Caucasian. White is an option. The Supreme Court, which can be more colloquial, has used the term in only 64 cases, including a pair from the 1920s that reveal its limitations. In one, the court ruled that a Japanese man could not become a citizen, although he may have been light-skinned. He was not Caucasian. In another, an Indian man was told that he could not become a citizen because although he may have been technically Caucasian, he was certainly not white. A similar debate erupted more recently when the Sarnaev brothers, believed to be responsible for the Boston Marathon bombing, were revealed to be Muslims from the Caucasus. The use of Caucasian to mean white was popularized in the 18th century, 1700s, by Jonathan Friedrich Blumenbach, a German anthropologist who decreed that it encompassed Europeans and the inhabitants of a region reaching from the Obi River in Russia to the Ganges to the Caspian Sea, plus northern Africans. He chose it because the Caucasus was home to the most beautiful race of men. That's a quote, the Georgians. And because among his collection 245 human skulls, the Georgian one was his favorite, wrote Nell Irvin Painter, a historian who explored the term's origins in her book, The History of White People. In 1889, the editors of the original Oxford English Dictionary noted that the term Caucasian had been practically discarded. Look up the Merriam-Webster version of Caucasian as well. But they spoke too soon. Blumenbach's authority had given the word a pseudo-scientific sheen that preserved its appeal. Even now, the word gives discussions of race a weird technocratic gravitas, as when police insist that you step out of your vehicle instead of your car. If you want to show that that you're being dispassionate when you use the more scientific term, Caucasian, Mr. Painter said. Susan Glisson, who was the executive director of the William Winter Institute, and I'm reading through all of this, she rarely hears Caucasian. Most of the folks who work in this field know that it's completely ridiculous, a completely ridiculous term to assign to white, she said. I think it's a term of last resort for people who are really uncomfortable talking about race. They use the term that's going to make them as distant from it as possible. There are a current number of terms that, and I'm skipping ahead here. Let's see. There's another reason to use it, said Jennifer Hauschild, a professor of government in African American studies at Harvard. The court, or some clever clerk, doesn't really want to use the word white, in part because roughly half of Hispanics consider themselves white. That's important, she added. White turns out to be a much more ambiguous term now than we used to think it was. There are a number of terms that refer to various degrees of blackness, both current and out of favor. African-American, mulatto, Negro, colored, or octoroon. There are a lot of other options. There are not a lot of options for whites. In Texas, they say Anglo. And there is a pejorative we were so pithily reminded of when whiteness in a racially charged George Zimmerman trial, when the victim, Trayvon Martin, called Mr. Zimmerman a creepy-ass cracker. In the South, it was often about the ethnic origins, and I had a ready answer. My father is from India. I would recite phrasing it in such a way to avoid being mistaken for an American Indian. And my mom is white. Almost invariably, if I was speaking to black people, they would nod with understanding. If I was speaking to white people, I would get a puzzled look. What kind of white? They would ask. Only when I explained the Norwegian, Scottish, German mix of my ancestry would I get the nod. And that's important, too, because what may seem to be solidarity in these other made-up social constructs of race, what would seem to be solidarity really isn't, because a lot of times if you ask a white person what they are, they will be able to tell you everything they are. Trevor Noah can tell you everything that he is. Scotch, Irish, Dutch, African, you know, all of this. He could tell you everything that he is because that's how they identify each other. They don't identify each other with these blanket phenotypical, you know, traits. What kind of white? I theorize this because I theorize that this was because blacks understood white as a category, both historical and contemporary, a coherent group that wielded power and excluded others. Whites, I believe, were less comfortable with that notion. So I had a history professor. Shout out to Dr. Curtis Richardson, man. Shout out to him. He told us that the ancient meaning of the word Caucasian actually means dark people. And I'm more apt to believe Dr. Richardson, because if you look at pictures of people that are originally from the Caucasus, if you go to Georgia, Armenia, and places like that today, they're typically pretty dark brown people. But it's interesting that if you look at more Bloomingburg's, the German guy. Let me make sure I got that name right. Give me one moment. Blumenbach, Johann Friedrich Blumenbach. So it's Johann Friedrich Blumenbach who coined the term to, you know, talk about Europeans. But if you look at a lot of the people from the Caucasus Mountains, they're not white people. And they never have been and never will be. They may share similar phenotypes, but they don't even consider themselves white, because a lot of people that may have light skin exist outside of the American construct of race. Now, they may understand what white people are, European people are, but they exist outside of the social construct, and they exist there for a reason. Yo, you on the big mic drop 251. Who we got?
Yo, what's happening?
Yo! Third moon top in the motherfucking building. What's happening? What up, man?
What's going on, bro?
Hey, man, cooling. But I ain't heard from you. I'm finna have to come look for you.
Yeah, man, I've been watching the show. I've been
yeah, man,
you
shit, I'm glad to have you. Glad to have you. What's on your mind today?
Shit, man, I this shit go all the way back to you, to old Joe, man.
Yeah, it does.
All this goes back to old Joe Biden.
Yeah, it does. I just got to shake my head.
We got to get him out of there, man.
Yeah. He got to go. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, man. I wish there was some kind of fail-safe that the administration could be voted out in 2 years, man, as opposed to maybe the presidential election needs to go for 2 years instead of 4 years. It's getting real painful with this guy in office right now.
Yeah, man. Gas prices. Gas is $4.20 down here.
Yeah. It's putting a squeeze on everybody. And, you know, he kind of stumbling and bumbling around. I mean, if you heard the way he was talking when he told them troops. Did you hear him tell them troops they were going to be in the Ukraine?
No, I ain't see it.
You ain't hear that? Let me let you hear that.
All right.
Yeah, but I was wrapping up on this idea of just kind of believing in people because they're black. And us pouring our undying support behind them because they're black, I think that's harmful to us at this stage in the game. They figured out a way to weaponize the black faith. And this is not anything new. A lot of people don't remember the Freedmen's Bank, of course. But, you know, when the Freedmen's Bank was about to fail, they made Frederick Douglass the president.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. But they made Frederick Douglass the president once they had stolen all the money. So the black face became the face of the failure.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they did that. But let me let you hear your boy Joe Biden, man. It's your boy Joe Biden talking to the troops in Poland yesterday.
Gonna have a stepping out. And you're gonna see when you're there. Some you've been there. You're gonna see women, young people standing in the middle front of a damn tank, just saying, "I'm not leaving. I'm holding my." They're incredible. Reason why when the Secretary of State asked me if I'd send another 12,000 troops along to the United States, I said, yeah, from the United States. Don't jump.
So he basically told them, you're going to see the Europeans, the Ukrainians when you're there. You're going to see your women standing in front of a damn tank.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I got my 2 cents on the subject. Rough day. Call in, man. Call on in, man. You got the number? Let me see if you're on there.
Well, he said, don't jump.
I didn't know what he meant by that, man. He sounded like a delusional old man, in my opinion. And like I said, I can't wait. I can't wait for him to get out of there. I really can't wait.
You got people that saying all this shit ain't Biden's fault.
Okay.
You got people that saying all this shit would have happened if anybody was in office.
You always gonna have them folks, man. You always gonna have them folks. And like I said, you got people in our community that are default Democrat, and the Democrats know that. So the best thing to do is disguise all of the worst people as Democrats, because we're the default Democrats. Man, I literally voted default Democrat all the way. Those who've been watching the show for a while know that I've made a 180-degree change on the way I feel about shit.
Hell yeah. We all did.
Rough day, you got to call 515-605-9708, brother. I can't answer this phone. Call 515-605-9708. It's right there on the screen under the question there. 515-605-9708. Thaddeus Wilder said, free Trump.
Free the Trump, boy. That's my shit. We rolling, man. Trump going to have the biggest black support system ever next time, 2024.
If Trump comes back, yes.
Yeah,
if Trump comes back.
I posted, went down there and voted for his ass last year.
But what's going to have to happen, though, is next presidential candidate I vote for is going to have to promise these reparations. And I ain't talking about no goddamn study group or no H.R. 40 or none of that. You had to come with some checks. We're going to need some checks and some status and some protections from the law. We need protections from the law when it comes to this. So, you know, when it comes to our status as foundational black Americans, descendants of slaves, this has nothing to do with immigrated blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do. Hold on. We got a rough day coming in on the building. Yo, you on a Big Mic drop this rough day?
What's going on with you, Big Mic?
Man, what's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I had to come on in.
I know you're ready to cook. What we got?
Well, I want to make a couple comments on our illustrious leaders, the black leaders.
Okay.
I think that you have to be representative of the establishment in order to even get to that level.
Right.
The term boule, have you ever heard that term?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the W.E.B. Du Bois people.
Right. Now, way back when that was established with I didn't hear what you said.
You were in the middle of saying something. I ain't say nothing.
Way back when that got established, yeah, having to do with Greek fraternities and sororities. You follow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my understanding of what I've studied and whatnot, they pull the brightest and the strongest of our educators, and they made an offer. You want to represent the cities, be in the function of leading black people, here's what you have to do.
It's a catch.
And say again?
It's
a catch. It's a catch now. You can't care about black people, but you can't say that.
Mm.
So take for example, all the major cities that went up in flames, they wanted to defund the police. Those were mainly Democratic cities. Yes or no?
Yeah, Democrats, yeah.
Okay, now, the leaders of those cities were mostly black people. Matter of fact, some of them were all black leaders.
Chicago, one of them.
Correct. So, but in order to be those leaders, you have to do fair things. For example, I'm going to mention a man, which I'm just going to use his situation, Bill Cosby. Now, for Bill Cosby to climb up to where he was, he had to agree to fair things, and you have to open yourself up, meaning do a bunch of illegal stuff. If you ever turn, then illegal stuff falls on you. So, coming back to the city leaders, it's the same thing. It's the same freaking thing. If they ever decide that they got a conscience, then they go down in flames. We don't see most of them go down. We see just the big wig people go down in flames.
Mm.
So the black cities will never.
No, go ahead. Hey, I wanted to step in 1 second and address something. So Danny Boy is asking who is they, and he might just be joining the conversation. So let me catch him up to speed.
Oh, for sure.
And just let the crowd know what you're referring to. Now, you're referring to what W.E.B. Du Bois called, or I call him Du Bois. I'm sorry. I might need to keep that one going on, that one, Coyle Ray Booker. But anyway, we'll keep going. But basically, he referred to them as the talented 10th, or what you call the black intelligentsia. So that the biggest, brightest, and that's the term that he did use. Now, what he had to do was he had to dethrone Marcus Garvey, who was basically the leader of the Back to Africa movement. W.E. was his antithesis to Marcus Garvey. And he everything Marcus Garvey would do, they would make sure the white side, and W.E.B. Du Bois was mixed anyway, if I'm not mistaken. And he was the first black graduate of Harvard University. So y'all can check on those facts as well, which is why a lot of these Negroes coming out of Harvard be having some weird-ass thoughts, man. They have some weird social beliefs.
Again,
and principles.
The Boulay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still going on strong now.
It's the black skull and bone.
Hey, so can I ask you right quick? Do this go back to Malcolm X, Martin Luther King? You think they is part of the Boulay?
Martin Luther King definitely was.
Well, now, since you want to mention that name, it's about making sure that the image of black people is never positive, okay? So for Martin Luther King to rise to the point where he was, before something that happened to him happened, he was okay. He was in the mix, okay? Of course he was in. Look how high. He was going around talking. The reason why he left when he did, and I'm asked the question, who knows? Who knows why? What's the subject? What's the story about why that thing happened to him happened when it happened? Why did it happen at that time? What's the story?
Because he made the switch to talking about economic justice as opposed to just racial justice.
Money.
You're talking about Yeah, it was money. When he started
King,
talking about getting
yes.
money, come up out of there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. Look at his last
other
interview.
People,
I think he did with Hollis.
Right.
When he was standing in the church, he started talking about that. That was his last interview.
Right. He was talking about equality, right? And being in the same, you know, give us equal rights, which basically destroyed black towns, okay? Because if you're going to want to come over and be in town with us, go to the theater with us, you don't need your theaters. You don't need your black police department. You don't need your black cities. Matter of fact, you don't need your black families either. You look around, you know that 80% of our families are led by black women. And now you got the black man, when they give the advertising, he has a white or Hispanic wife and family.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
Yes,
well,
so
I'll
that's
say
about
this too about the Dr. King thing. What Dr. King realized at the end, when he finally did split from the Boulay, and him and Malcolm X actually were, you know, started talking, if I'm not mistaken. But where King was at then is King realized that the struggle was different from the northern Negroes in the cities than it was from the southern Negroes in the more rural areas and smaller cities. So
agreed.
And I think he made a statement, and I'm paraphrasing, to a black man in Mississippi should never be told that he can't vote, and a northern Negro in New York knows what he's voting for. So it was two different struggles, the same thread of civil rights, but it was two different struggles, which is why you see such stark differences in mentalities of people from the north towards people from the south and vice versa. So they had a totally set of different issues, which was stemming from being cut out of the economic system.
Agreed.
And
now,
that's when he started. That's when he switched roles and started going, you know, we're going to start talking about economics and reparations and things of that nature. I think he said cut the check, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. He was talking specifically about how the American system was cutting checks for white people, but not cutting any checks for black people. Now, he was green-lighted to spend his time preaching and talking about, let's have equality, let's pray, let's have equality, go out there and catch a brick upside the head or whatnot, that was fine. They wanted that. That was needed, okay, right. Because – and meanwhile, every time a black city gets too strong, okay, it gets burned down. That's
right.
What was happening during that time. And most of them that got burned down, you didn't hear about it because, you know, the media only put out what they want us to hear. So that's correct. Always got to make sure the black infrastructure, meaning the mind of the black man and the black woman, in a negative state, perpetuity. Negative
right.
state all the time. And
there's something that's going on now that I should make mention of, too, because the concepts that the very same concepts that were employed in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921 is the exact same thing that's going on today in a town, and I want to say is Mason, Tennessee. Have you heard what's going on there?
I haven't heard it, meaning I don't really watch media anymore. I just search videos and whatnot.
So Mason, Tennessee is a town, and it's a majority black-run town, black-owned, you know, it's majority black, black-run in the politics.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, it was white-run for a long time. They ran it into the ground, then they started letting black politicians take over.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Florida's trying to build like a 4,000-acre plant in this town. And now the state comptroller of Tennessee is saying that they want to dissolve the city's charter. Now, these folks have been allowed to sit here with no gas stations, no grocery stores, all of this stuff for this amount of time. Over 150 years it's been incorporated, if I'm not mistaken. And now, all of a sudden, when Ford wants to come drop $40 billion in the middle of it, and perhaps, you know, I think it's like 2,700 jobs or some shit like that, now the state wants to take over.
Why?
So now they're going to dissolve the city. They're going to dissolve the city's charter if they don't basically give up the charter on their own.
Right. Now, what are they really asking for? What's the system?
They want the money that comes from Ford.
No. Let me go a little bit deeper. They need them to stop because if they don't stop them, they're going to end up training and educating young people into growing up thinking about how to put together an actual structured family and system and a hierarchy of learning and training and moving forward and building. Can you imagine the black mind of children learning how to do that as opposed to being in that perpetual negative circle of let me wear some hair on top of my real hair, let me get some fake nails and fake eyelashes, and let me go out here and show myself off, and let me drop it like it's hot, and you get lost in all that. As opposed to that, you get into positive stuff. You can't let that go on. You gotta stop that. And people don't talk about that. People don't talk about these subjects on mainstream TV. You never hear about it.
You ain't heard about Mason. Nope. Rob Gibbons says they want black people of Mason to lose out on everything the city would be getting from the new plant. Facts. We also got the world class in the building, and Bernard and with the facts and uncomfortable truth. So I put the link in the chat, fellas, if anybody want to come up, man, and get a piece of this subject matter. Like I said, we've kind of gone into the best parts of the show. So y'all go ahead and check it out. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother. Who's next?
No. Jump in anytime. I like the way you structure and set it up and let it roll. Now, going back to the black leaders, all right. How do you preach to a people and you keep getting those people to vote you in, and then you turn around and you don't keep your promises, but the people still love you? How does that happen? Let me give my opinion first. Because black people are structured in such a way that they are the closest to nature. So their spiritual connected to their emotional and mental is so strong, once they are glued in and locked in on what they believe and what they want to do, to their detriment, they will hold on till the last minute. And unfortunately, people know that secret and they use it against us. Now, somehow I knew better. Even as a child growing up, I knew all this nonsense was nonsense, man. It's like 90% of what we – right, go jump in, jump in.
90% of what we think real is some bullshit.
Yes,
right.
It's fake. Well, it's not fake. Let me put that a different way. Here's how I keep myself emotionally and mentally strong and connected, knowing that where everything is now is where it's supposed to be. Here's what I do. I use the term, and I forget the congressman who said it first. It's a white guy. And he said, to the victor goes the spoils. Back in the day, when if you were the most versatile with a sword, you know, hand-to-hand, handheld weapons, you went over, you were country orange, you went over and fought country green. Whoever won got to write history. It's been like that forever. The reason
right.
they don't really go into it crazy now is because, you know, nuclear bombs will take everybody out. But to the victor goes the spoils. So thinking today, don't get mad. If you know, if you always say to yourself, to the victor goes the spoils, that's the way it's always been. So you work with what you have. But this free enterprise system, if you just learn it and know it and go use it, you can create all kind of wealth. And that's why that city in Tennessee won't be. That's why Tulsa was taken out. Because once you start raising the children, the black children up, bruh, that black mind gets hooked on how to create wealth. We're not talking about one Jay-Z. We're talking about 1,000 of them. You got to
right.
keep that from happening. Jump in.
Or maybe when you get back to the Mansa Musa type of wealth, you know, it eventually travel back to that type of wealth and collection and use of resources. Rob Gibbons said something real interesting here in the comments. He said, we as black folks are taught to distrust the white man so deeply that some black leaders can gaslight us into thinking that it is the white folks doing it to us when they are just as corrupt. Fact.
Ooh,
and I'll say this. And I got an explanation as to why we are the way that we are when it comes to, you know, having that emotion when it comes to humanity. And I don't want to go too deep, but I'll just put it like this. When God created the original man, God tasked the man with one thing, and that was taking care of everything on the planet, including all other men and animals and everything else that were different from us. From the original man. The original man was the man tasked with the job. If you'll notice, things don't get done for other people in this world until black people in the United States say so. Have you ever noticed that? That's why
say
they lead us on with this Ukraine thing. Things don't happen for other people in the world unless black people, as far as black people are concerned, not, you know, different races of people, but just black people in the world. Things don't happen for them until blacks in America decide things need to change.
Okay.
None of them would be over.
Let me jump.
Had black America not decided things needed to change.
Okay. Let me jump in.
Go ahead.
Okay. However, if those black leaders who are speaking are in the boule, then the message is coming from the same place, even though it's changing the minds of blacks all over the world. You follow?
Yeah.
Same agenda.
Hey, left wing, right wing, same bird. What we're dealing with is a system of neoliberalism. And I brought that up earlier in the show, and I urge everybody to look that up. Look up neoliberalism. And start reading up on neoliberalism. Don't let the liberalism and conservatism here fool you. They are both neoliberalists. It's going the same direction. It does not matter whether it's the left wing or the right wing. The bird is still traveling in the same direction. And it's not a direction that's that's conducive for black people to survive.
Okay, 2 points real quick. I agree with what you just said. I do. I believe the wing on the Democratic side is much heavier than the wing on the Republican side. I believe that Democrats got that hammer that they waving, and Republicans kind of turn their back and let it happen. Now,
right.
Trump was in office. They didn't want him in there, and they tried to get him out. How is it, and I don't want to answer this, I need to go to a second place real quick, but how is it none of those people are in jail? That's crazy. When the Democrat side is putting the other side, people in jail, in court, out of their jobs, raiding their homes, left and right. I don't understand that power. That's some power you just have to understand. I don't understand it. Let me mention why black leaders do what they do, why your black neighbor might do something. Let's go back to slavery. Back during slavery, there were revolts. And this, I'm going to bring this back to today. Now, we may have heard about one or two of them, okay? Most of them we didn't because they didn't take off. Someone always reported. Meritorious manumission, yes, award.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's stuck today as well. Now, those black leaders, you can take that and tag that to the black leaders today. Somebody jump in, please.
Yeah, that's snitch culture. That's basically, like, look at who's the most popular black leader right now. Like in the recent times, when you start thinking about black leadership, you're gonna start thinking about like Al Sharpton for the most part. But Al Sharpton's name will come up pretty high on the list. But Al Sharpton was a federal informant. See, Al Sharpton was gifted this position for his work with the feds.
Yo, his cover.
You say what?
Gone.
Yeah, his cover was gone.
I know black leaders out right now like that.
Spartacus, the black guy up there in Congress talking about Spartacus.
Why y'all think Marcus Garvey ain't as popular as all the rest of them?
Because W.E.B. Du Bois attacked and discredited Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was hit with a bunch of trumped up charges. Yo, we got Noble World Class in the building. But peace, brother. How you doing?
Yeah, it's popular as Martin Luther King and all the rest of.
Well, Marcus Garvey was putting words to action. Marcus Garvey had already purchased cruise liners, the Black Star cruise liner, liners to take black people to Liberia. Actually, some black people wound up in Liberia, but you had W.E.B. Du Bois and the Jewish people that started the NAACP. That wasn't even started by black people, but they used him as the face of it to go against Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was arrested and hit with all type of mail fraud charges and basically like he was a scam artist or something. He was deported to Jamaica, and then Jamaica got rid of him too. I think he wound up dying in London, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, inside people working for Marcus who ended up being turned. And imagine if you getting arrested in private and you being threatened, hey, you do this or you and your family going to go down for that. So,
right.
You know, a bunch of people turned on him and that's what happened. That's what I think happened.
Right. But it was a smear campaign from the Boulé, father of the Boulé,
yes.
W.E.B.
Yeah.
So,
I don't want to. I don't want to mention names. I don't want to tag me. That's a name because you know how people get. But
I'm not sitting up saying that everybody that's in a fraternity is some kind of sinister figure or something like that. But I think people do need to know they came, and that's where this school came from. And therefore, you can make a more informed decision about whether you want to continue your membership or not. Me personally, I'm not in it because I don't believe in elitism. I don't believe I'm elite to any other black person in this country because we're all soldiers in the war. Some of us just don't know it.
Imagine, though, all that money from the government to these Democrat cities and the inner cities, not only the poor black communities, but the poor white communities, they never prospered with all of these programs tagged with the money to go in and improve these areas. Somehow the money never made it. Nothing got done, but the people kept voting for the same leaders. That's crazy.
You know why, brother? Because in phenotype we trust. Because in phenotype we trust. Yeah, and you're seeing it play out time and time again. And I'm not calling any of my brothers out, but I'm surprised at some of the people that are saying some of the things they're saying, because brothers I know and sisters I know are a little bit more informed. So then it just gets to a point to where we're just going to be willfully ignorant about the danger of these people just because they look like us.
Agreed. However,
I'm going to let my man Noble come in after you. Go ahead.
All right, last point I'm making, I'm going to sit back. You got that, but then you got the media, and the people are still watching the media, and the media is just lying. So when you got the media telling you that something's not there, not true, that you got a great leader, and that's what you're watching while you're eating your food, how can you break from that connection, that emotional connection? It's almost impossible.
You real sick, bro. The media is so that's like a cartoon. The media, them folks twist up and fake out all the stories that come on. Everything is fake on the media.
Totally agree.
Well, it's a hole in the dike. It's holes in the dike, and it's not enough fingers to plug. So right now, BNC just went down. Mark Lamont Hill, you won't be seeing his pie face too much on the internet unless he get his own podcast or, you know, do some kind of, he probably will. I'm sure some company's going to pay him millions of dollars to start and continue to try to promote propaganda. But it's really people like us that's creating the cracks in the foundation. It's regular Joes. I'm just a guy. I'm nobody. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a guy that's talking. And it's a lot of us out here that are talking, and we're connecting the dots, man. And we're connecting the like-minded people who recognize the bullshit, and we're just not going for it. We're just not going for it.
Here.
Rob says, eternal order is not originally meant to be elite. Shaking my head, they forgot the basis of which they were created. They were created to be equal to white people. See, all we've started to do is try to make black men and black women better white men and white women instead of really, you know, in going the opposite direction. Noble, man, hop on in, brother. I'm sorry.
Facts, man. You hit the nail on the head just now. And I think, like, first of all, peace to the chat. Peace to the brothers on the line. Shout out to Dale. Shout out to some of the appreciate you for hopping on the live, too, bro.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely, anytime.
The things, movie I love, Ideally, the movie Revolver came out in 2000. The thing he said in the movie was, the bigger the trick, the older the trick, the easier it is to pull.
Right.
People think it can't be that big or that old for so many people to have fallen for it. And all skin folk and kin folk in war is called the Trojan horse.
Facts.
You look like a gift. See? You got wide hips. You, girl, you look good. You know what I mean?
Right.
You a homeboy. You got the same outfit on. You love hip-hop like I love hip-hop. But you got something evil in you.
Right.
You got something that's ill-intended for me.
Right.
And principles is what combines us together. And the breaking of those principles of what destroys us. I say that to say, we need to have, we've heard it, vetting system, but we need to develop a system and stick to that system. Like all of these people around us do, like these Asians do,
right?
Like these Jews do, like white people do. You know what I mean? Like some of these Latin Latin, South American people do.
Right.
And we don't do that.
But why why that's never happened, though?
Because we buy comfort. We don't understand how dangerous comfort is. The most dangerous thing in existence is comfort. Comfort kills everybody.
Oh, that connects back to slavery, what you just said.
Say it again.
That connects back to slavery. Comfort. The choice for comfort. The choice to be comfortable as opposed to being in pain. I'm sorry, jump in.
Well, I think, and we talked about this earlier. First of all, shout out to True Hands Boxing Team and Promotion. He says, Mike, if you did a show on the topic of black fraternities and sororities, you get a lot of hits, and I think we're going to work on that, man. I want to work on that show. So, yeah, look for something to be coming out about the black Greeks. Because it's still, you know, I don't understand. I mean, you know, and like I said, not to, you know, point any fingers or whatnot. I just don't understand, you know, how black people were able to be pulled into that type of mentality. But, you know, I'm sure I'll do some research and we'll talk about that because I would like to hear. I do know a lot of people that are in fraternity. But back to, we were talking about it a little earlier today, Rough Day, and what happens is freedom is such a vague word. I think even Noble was saying that free isn't even really a word. It's a term. Is that correct?
It's a word.
Oh, okay. So free,
I was using a dictionary and a law dictionary. Most of those are terms and not words.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So freedom is something that is undefined. Because it's basically up to the person, it's up to the individual whether they feel free or not. It just depends on freedom to do what. So in all actuality, it was something that we were never taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you believe you're free, but you're not.
They let us go and we assumed we was free.
Correct. Because we could go where we wanted to go most of the time.
And we would take our
slavery. No, not during slavery now. It goes back to what you said earlier, Big Mike, about how black people in the South acted as opposed to black people in the North. Now, that North and South Civil War thing, the blue won, but the blue gave the land right back to the gray. They didn't take it from them, okay?
Right.
So then they freed the slaves, but then everybody enacted laws to restrict movement. You got thrown in prison if you were loitering, but how are you going to have a job? The people who enslaved you are not going to give you a job working anywhere else. So a situation worse than slavery came about, which is hard to imagine, called convict leasing. Of the slaves, right? That was worse than slavery because all of a sudden, you're not my property. I'm gonna work you to death, and then I'm gonna go get another replacement. That was worse than slavery. So,
right,
can't move around. In order to move around, it was crazy. But nobody talked about that.
I'm glad you brought up convict leasing, and I'll say this as well. And a lot of people were locked up because of these unfair vagrancy laws and things like that. If a black man didn't have a job, he was literally committing a crime. So it could be locked up at a certain day and time. But I don't even bring it to because everybody doesn't.
You
really
start rhyming on us, Big Mike?
Everybody doesn't necessarily identify with the convict aspect of it. But let's think about this aspect of it. Let's think about the sharecropping aspect of it, to where, okay, you were renting property that you worked, and your supplies you were getting on credit. So credit is probably the most destructive thing in the use of credit and misuse of credit, because you're robbing people of the resources to do for themselves, and you have control over the retail aspect has actually had a bigger impact on bringing us to where we are as well. People don't
work
put a lot
like
of emphasis. Still slave. You're still going to slave for it. But look at how to sell the Negro. back when they realized in 1954 that integration, that was right before Brown versus Board of Education. So they knew that integration was coming. So they immediately put together all of these advertising agencies, like the show Mad Men, you know, where the 50s, where they were basically advertising agents and getting into the psychology of how to mass market products to black people to extract those black dollars to make sure there's never, ever a Tulsa again. That's a big part of it. So the use of credit, the use of employment or the deprivation of employment on top of all that, man, has really put us into a bad pickle. It's put us into a bad pickle. Y'all go on jumping. I'm sorry. That was on my mind.
No. Right on where you're going. There are institutions that have been in business forever that are geared toward investigating and researching how to control, manipulate the mind, the heart and soul of a person. And they have gotten so good at it, what you just said, Big Mike. Jump in there, right, sir.
Well, we talked about it a little bit earlier was when, you know, people throw out this number, and it's usually about between 1.2 and $1.7 trillion. And they say that's what black folks are worth or put into the economy every year. But even that is a trick. That's a trick number. We don't have $1.7 trillion between 42 billion of us to spend. But what they're doing is they're helping these companies create their budgets for marketing and advertising.
Right.
That's where the $1.7 trillion, like I said, the athletes that get flipped by these owners. The musicians that get flipped by the record company owners, all of this is aggregated, and that becomes our worth. They can actually get loans and help people set their budgets based off of how much they feel like we will make. We are the stock. We are the bond. Wall Street was a slave center in the beginning, and those names are out there for a reason. They call it stocks and bonds for a reason. We are the stock, and we are the ones that are bonded.
Yep.
Okay, that's another deep subject, and I don't know if we got that much time.
Just putting it on y'all.
Everybody's a corporation. I mean, your birth certificate. We're all birds like ships. Everything is on the water. The legal system is all on the water. England is in control of the legal system, and the birthing rights to every child, once you sign it, you sign up the rights and the money to that child. It's crazy.
I think that's over, man, because I ain't seen the queen in a minute, man. I ain't heard nothing about her since the day before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. So I think
that's why I said
England.
I didn't get
the last us to know. Hey,
yes.
But yeah, birthing is a ship. A maritime. Yeah,
and it's printed on bonds.
Your name is in capital letters. Everything that's in capital letters is incorporated. Even the United States of America is incorporated.
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying when I brought up woman of color in that terms. In all caps, it's not a word.
It's not a word. It's all caps.
So it's a sign. You know what I mean? It's like an insignia. It's not a word. So you have to pay attention to the language that's being used. That's why I say, you know, I think the lead attorney is cool, but you have to pay attention and look at all attorneys that are associated there with the Bar Association.
Right.
Because they use this perversive language in all of these documentation. If y'all want to know what Illuminati is, it's them. Everything they say the Illuminati is, it's them. They're in everything. They're in your cell phone contracts, your mortgage contracts. They're writing the laws in your state. Mortgage docs. They in the policies for your job, the policies for the school system, the regulations and the Department of Transportation. You know what I mean? They're everywhere. And
agreed.
In everything. And we're supposed to understand what they are writing in at these different levels when they give us this piss poor level education.
Right.
And we only get education, well, we don't get edification and enumeration.
Yes, right. We end up becoming
school.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
It's criminal. Go ahead, say you said it's criminal not to teach financial literacy in school. That's a fact.
Well,
it's criminal.
Well, it's a criminal thing from the perspective of understanding it, but by criminal law, it's not against the law to do it. So they raise everybody to be consumers only. Only.
Right.
Yeah. Henry Ford, I think it was Henry Ford, if not J.D. Rockefeller, one of them created the 9-to-5 in the first place, and they invested in the school system because they wanted more employees and more taxpayers.
Right.
So the whole
The black guy that gave Henry Ford so many ideas. What was his name?
George Carver. Professor right. Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Who studied plants. This guy was amazing, man. Assembly line. So many things. Because nature works. Everything is about nature. Everything about us, about nature, about trees and flowers, how they move, electrons, everything's off of electricity. You plug your lamp into the wall and the light works by electricity. It lights the room. A man and a woman gets together, and what that plug does, it starts an electric charge that creates life.
Right.
Hearing noise, feelings, it's all about electricity. When someone jolts us with a charge rod, we fall flat on the floor because our electrical energy in us has been interrupted. Right. So every muscle just goes. Yes, everything's about electricity, but no right. one's taught this in school.
Right.
And then when the Dr. Sabi comes and he says, you have to eat electric food, they say he's crazy. And he watched the we call them lightning bugs up here. It's just a little green, green light.
The bugs.
Yeah, he watched that lightning bug only touches about 3 different plants, and that you could use that
Facts.
To power a battery. You know
Facts.
What I mean?
Right.
So they're crazy when you understand anything that's foundational, they hate that. They can't stand it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Hey,
you have Nikola Tesla, who created a device that can give you Wi-Fi energy.
Back in the early 1900s.
Yeah, man. Send you energy through the ether just like we do the internet from
right.
one continent to one part of the coast to the other part of the coast.
Right, right.
You seen what, 30, 19? You know what I mean? Look, that's crazy.
I thought it was earlier than that.
It might have been.
I thought it was earlier 20. Than that. I thought it was in the 20s. Hey, Amber and Rob Gibbons said that at the same time, I recently read that Florida is trying to pass the law that requires financial literacy before high school graduation. And Florida's also leading the charge on this anti-critical race theory thing as well. And like I said, that's another one of those emotional cues that they throw us to get our support behind it. And then it's really meant to fuck us the whole time. So, critical race theory is another Trojan horse that they're mm-hmm. using. Fire your history teacher. Learn your own history. Learn your family history and learn how your family interacted throughout different periods in history. But, yeah, shout out to Florida and DeSantis for doing that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Governor DeSantis is leading the charge against critical race theory, against this nonsense where the liberals were trying to give permission to these other lifestyle people to come in and talk to your baby children.
Mm-hmm.
He's stomping all that out. So I just want to
right.
do a shout out for him.
Yeah. Now he's stomping all that out, man. And those are the type of things we need as far as, you know, our kids, man. We cannot continue to raise confused individuals and think we're supposed to get somewhere socially. It's like putting screen doors on a damn submarine. It makes zero sense.
Well, the parent can't oversee their learning and teach them anything if the parent of 1-8% of black households or single parent, female single parent run, that female is having to work two jobs just to pay bills, so the kid gets raised by the television and the games. So they never learn anything. The male is not in the house. If we could go back to when 8% of the households had the father and the mother married, 2.5 kids, and one or both of the grandparents living and dying in the same house. Man, that was an awesome time.
That was a great time. And I'll say this, we're the only in America, not just black people, but that's an American thing. Kicking your kids out at 18 is an American thing. A lot of times, women stayed with their parents till they got married back in the day. And then in certain situations, you might be just moving from your parents' house to your husband's parents, and he got the parents in the house. And now y'all are doing
it. And the uncle had some input in who got to date and marry the daughter. You understand? That process was a part of the family, too.
I'm going to do a show about how the afungular role in kids' lives is missing. That's a big one. The aunties and uncles, and they both essentially do the same function, but I'll just use afungular as a whole, you know, as a whole. But the uncle and the auntie situation and interaction in life is huge. It's huge. And proximity to them is huge. Now people want to move 15 states away from everybody they know to a bunch of people they don't know so they can have privacy and party and do all this shit. You know, at 18 years old, they don't even know what they want to be in life. They don't have any money. They don't have any skills. Barely got walking around since. And we're telling them to go to, you know, New York or Miami, the University of Miami, to go to college. And we're expecting them to really make it like this, man. We have to stop that. We have to start, you know, collecting more in units. And I'm a big proponent of people in the city, man, start moving back down south, man. Buy you some property down here, even if it's in a country town. And bring your ideas down here. Open stores. Do things down here. We need all of it.
Agreed, but people won't get together and do that. It's just no trust. Black people.
Some of us will. And those are the ones that we focus on. Man, any last words, man? I'm gonna take my wife to dinner, and I just want to go on wrap up. But it's been a great conversation. Any last words, Noble? Anything from you?
You can't get the last. You know, it's all about the village, bro.
It's all about the village. And I got an idea, man. We coming up with some. I'm coming up with some. I'm gonna hit you up, Noble, on the back channel. And let's talk about this village idea, man, because I've had some ideas. You know, I'm a shirt maker. I make T-shirts. So I'm thinking about some villager T-shirts. And, you know, let's talk about it, some details of it, because, I mean, it's pretty much your turn. So I appreciate you for joining me, man, and we'll be talking. And I look forward to your next one. Also, y'all go check out the live that Noble did earlier today. It's on the World Class on YouTube. It says just going live for no reason at all. Shout out to you, brother. Shout out to them brothers that were on there. I see we got Facts and the Uncomfortable Truth with Bernard Essen here. Shout out to Gail at Night. Shout out to Rob, man. That's my partner, man, my veteran partner, my military vet. Shout out to all y'all who on here. Rough day. I appreciate you always. You always dropping knowledge.
Right.
And we need to talk a little bit more often, man. You know, we need to talk a little more often.
Fact.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's say one brother, point, man, before we get off.
Yeah, most definitely. Wrap up. How are you doing?
All right. We control our day, how we feel, how we react to things. If a person gets up in the morning expecting sunshine but see there's rain outside, if you just say to yourself, it's a great day, it's going to be a wonderful day, every cell in your body will line up to whatever you believe, whatever you're thinking. If you're thinking negative, every cell in your body, the electricity in every cell is going to line up and make you feel however you say you're feeling. It don't have to be true, but if you say it, it's a great day. I'm going to love this day. Every cell lines up and makes you start feeling good about yourself. People are not taught that. I thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you, man. Man, rough day in the building, man. Real, real insightful brother, man. I love when he calls in, man, because, like I say, we always stretch the conversation, and that, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to stretch everybody's conversation, man. Just stretch the way you're thinking a little bit. Man, Gail at Night, man. Shout out to Gail at Night, man. She came through. I gave her a wrench, man. Gail, look, I love the way you moderate. Hit me on the back channel as well, too, because, like I said, I think you should be paid for your moderation. That's just me. Mm-hmm. And that's how black business start right there. Man, I appreciate you, too, brother. Man, Noble, man, let's get up, man. I'll probably hit you up a little later this evening. You got a lot planned, or you kind of just chilling out?
I'll be working, but I'll, you know, be in the house, out the house. You definitely hit me up, but man, please enjoy the dinner with the wife. Enjoy the rest of your day. Appreciate you, bro.
Yo, man.
Appreciate everything you're doing and contributing to, you know, this legacy we are currently creating.
Hey, you as well, brother. You as well, man. I'm glad to be in the good fight with you.
Thank you, bro. It's a pleasure. Yeah. Honor.
Honor. Blessing to you, fam.
Yeah, peace.
Peace. All right, man. Good show, man. Good turnout, man. I mean, I didn't even expect that we were going to be on here this long, man, but this is real good stuff, man. So, like I said, once again, my blessings and to all of y'all out there, man. Y'all are my family, man, especially. I appreciate the love, man. So, we'll be back this Thursday, 8 p.m. Ronnie LaDue will be back with me, man. So, you know, we're going to be crazy as normal, man, crazy as always. Don't forget to visit us at www.thebigmicdrop.com. The Drop Shop, man. Get your Fire History Teacher t-shirts. They $20 right now. $20, man. It'd be the best $20 you ever spent. And I'll get it right out to you. So this your boy Big Mike, man, signing off. We'll talk later. Peace.